Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I already talked about the $20 bill I found, didn't I?
Last week, yeah.
Ugh. I had this feeling, and this is going to be my next screenplay, that if I rode or walked in my screenplay version, I'm riding a children's bicycle by that same spot where I found the 20. Because did I tell you how the... So this is what happened. My sweet dog Lucy has taken... Stop me if I said all this before, Chris. My Lucy, now that she's not in New York, though hopefully we'll be back there soon, I have to say that out loud to just make it clear. Because some people have written me and been like, so you live in Ohio now?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Like,
I think I've said that to you too. I'm like, you're not coming back to New York City, are you?
I don't want people to think that. I mean, how off brand would that be for me to just stay in Ohio forever? I mean, I'm an international, man about town. That's not going to happen. So she scampers about and chases rabbits. And so she now wears bells so I can have a general sense of where she is within about 100 yards of me at all times, because she runs all over the place. So the bells were not hooked on. The leash was hooked to the bells instead of the collar. And as a result, it ripped the bells off and they fell off. And then so I was like, well, I got to go find the bells. So I went to find the bells and I bent over to pick up the bells and I found a 20.
Wow.
When I was looking, so I mean, that is something that's like something out of a French movie.
Yeah, that's super.
Just like, yeah.
I forget where I was out late one night in Williamsburg and I was in the Bedford Avenue subway stop and I was like, I just wish I could I had 20 bucks to take a car home instead of taking like an hour long train ride back. And I sit down on the bench and I just kind of like stretch and my hand hits something and it was a $20 bill sitting right there. And I just like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I just ran upstairs and hailed a cab. It was great.
That rules. That's like, this actually is nothing like it, but a few years ago, this woman, she came to, I won't say her name because maybe she doesn't want me to tell this story, but it's not horribly embarrassing, but she was visiting the United States and she just, as happens, she ran out of money. And so she's like, I ran out of money. Like, can I borrow 20 bucks? And I was like, sure. Thinking that I'm never getting this $20 back, right. But whatever. So I gave her 20 bucks and then she came back like 2 years later
and paid
and walked up to me and was like, here's your 20 bucks.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you actually made good on the 20 bucks. I wasn't expecting that. And so I just handed it to my friend Shayna. Cause I was like, I'm just going to keep this moving. Yeah. This is your 20 bucks now. Just give it to someone else someday.
That's awesome.
Anyway, how are you doing?
Good. You know, as good as I can be.
Yeah, your apartment. This is part of the, I'm jealous. Your apartment looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun, right? This looks like a room from the 70s or something.
Yeah. What do you have? Is that like temporary wallpaper? Are you painted?
No, it's wallpaper that is like is my parents' apartment that we moved into. They're like our landlords now, but the wallpaper is all kind of coming down. Like, I don't know if you could tell, but like
I did see some curves.
My 4-year-old niece just decided to tear that whole strip down. And then we like,
oh, that fucking asshole.
We kind of tried to like tape it back up because the glue is so old that it doesn't stick to the wall. It just looks horrible, but yeah.
I think it all looks great.
Thanks. Yeah, we get a lot of compliments on the stripy walls, though.
As well you should. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we should get into it. I'm very excited for our guest today. He's a great comedian, a delightful man. And he has, I didn't say it while we were recording this, but I find his eyes, I've always found his eyes captivating.
I was thinking the same thing.
They're really captivating.
He's got very pretty
Maybe
he'll eyes.
Listen to, he'll listen to this and be like, that's weird. They were keeping that inside the whole time. So beautiful eyes. And I learned a lot more about him and chatting with him than I ever knew. I first met him in Chicago, which we talked about. And he's not from Chicago, which I kind of always assumed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here he is, a delightful man, hilarious comedian and writer and so much more, Mr. Tim Barnes. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
We were already in mid-conversation. We were talking about, well, you mentioned when Barack Obama was on Mark Maron's podcast. That was amazing. But did you, when that happened, and clearly I didn't let it affect me that much, but I was like, well, I guess podcasts are over because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah. And I always wonder how Mark Maron must have felt about that too. Like, that's kind of like the pinnacle of guests.
Yeah. Where do you go? I can't really think of anyone.
If he gets an interview with Trump while he's in prison, that might top it. But a lot of things have to happen before that becomes an option. So.
Yeah. One can dream. That one, I don't know. I shouldn't say the other things I would like to see happen. I'm probably already on some list, a sad little list, but just a list nonetheless.
Yeah.
But how are you doing, Tim?
Doing pretty good. I haven't really walked more than maybe like 15 blocks in like 4 months, you know, so dealing with that reality. But good in the sense that I'm lucky to be employed. Like right now I'm writing for the Tonight Show and
That's amazing.
Haven't met most of the people in person. Ever met Jimmy in person.
So you've been writing the whole time remotely for the show?
That is crazy.
That's amazing.
I know. It's insane.
Oh my gosh. That is maybe of all the many bizarre things I've heard during this completely bizarre time that
Have you stepped foot in 30 Rock yet? Or
I've never stepped foot in 30 Rock. I've never been to the Tonight Show studio. It's surreal. I've been on the Tonight Show in this room in my apartment. So
wow. And so are you in New York right now?
I'm in New York. Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. It's pretty. It's like, this is definitely, if I ever write a book, this is definitely a chapter.
That's totally. So how long have you been at the Tonight Show? Or how long have you not been at the Tonight Show?
I think it's been like just a little over 3 months.
So you just you really started.
I really just started. Yeah. I was in LA for a little bit writing for the reboot of All That on Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. And then I got this opportunity. And I literally fled from LA to New York because there was this one particular day where all of this, like these rumors were coming out. So I remember we were writing these sketches for this kids TV show. And then like every 5 minutes we'd all like look at our phones and give an update like, oh, apparently there's this rumor going around. Like my friend who works at the CIA or like stuff like that says that like New York's going to go on lockdown and they're not going to let anybody in or out. So that night, like my girlfriend is still in New York and I knew that I had this opportunity to work for the Tonight Show. And this is before all the late night shows started doing at home stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just got a flight that night, packed up as much as I could and came back. And
Did you have an apartment in LA that you were living in?
I was living with my grandpa.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Mr. Barnes?
Mr. Bailey.
Oh, yeah, Mr.
So,
Bailey.
Yeah,
I was so
side.
Close. I knew there was a 50-50 chance of getting it.
Yeah. It was oddly like a very sweet experience staying with my grandpa.
He, oh, I
you
bet.
Know, just watches a lot of old TV shows. And yeah, he's always been someone who I haven't been able to unpack everything about him, but being in his presence pretty often was pretty cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And when I first met you, you were in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah, I remember because I had you on my old podcast, which was you struck me as like an incredibly like a rare, like truly genuine comedian. Like,
oh, thank you. Like, it sounds so good so far, but what do you mean? Just tell me what else.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like compared to like, so I had this podcast that was somehow like I ended up producing it at WBEZ, and I would look at comedians who were coming to town and I would just email them. And I probably just exactly how I got you on the show, just emailed you. And I don't know. There's just something, I remember that conversation coming with so much ease. Like you're genuinely a very open book. Like you there aren't a lot of guards that are down with you, I feel like. And I left that conversation for like, oh, I feel like I really understand this guy. Like we were talking a lot about Cleveland and stuff.
Oh yeah. I remember having a delightful time. Sticks in my memory. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm from Los Angeles. Grew up in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
In South Central LA, was pretty sheltered as a kid. Didn't go out didn't go around the block at all. Uh-huh. And then around the last year of middle school, my family moved to Riverside, California, in the Inland Empire. And that's where I met first year of high school. I met our mutual friend Ian Abramson.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah, in honors English, and then a couple years after we, did the whole college thing, we hatched this plan to move to Chicago, and then after about 5 years there, I moved to New York. So
excellent. Yeah, I think it was on that when I did your podcast. I think that was when I first met Ian too. I think we were doing Up Comedy. Does that sound right?
At the Second City, right?
Yeah. It was me, Bridget Everett, and Ian. Hmm. And for, I forget, 2 or 3 magical nights. But I remember thinking, that Ian kid, he's a weirdo. I like it. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was a momentous weekend. Now that I'm looking back on it,
yeah,
meeting both you guys,
yeah, I can't imagine.
So how? Because I'm finding it as a comedian, I'm finding it really hard to write anything in terms of like performance, any sort of stand-up stuff. Because I can't imagine. I'm like, when are we going to do that? I realize shows are starting to happen again in some form.
Yeah, a lot of Zoom versions of like game shows and stuff are popping up.
Outdoor shows are starting to happen, even in New York.
Yeah, I've seen the outdoor shows, and I'm like, I'm good. like the back of a truck. I mean, I think it's cool, whatever people are doing, if they're staying safe. But I'm finding like I got asked to do like a show to do like a headlining Zoom set would be, I guess, quite long. And then I thought, what of any of my material doesn't sound completely bizarre in the current climate? Cause it's all about going and doing things, which I haven't.
Yeah. So
how are you dealing with that? I mean, you have to, cause you have to, it's your job to write jokes every day.
Yeah, for writing for the Tonight Show, it does become very difficult because you're trying to think about these sort of broad mutual experiences that people all across America have. Like there's this regular bit on Fridays called Thank You Notes where Jimmy writes thank you notes about things. Mm-hmm. But there's just been a couple weeks where everything in the news is either completely awful or just like you're trying to balance not talking about things that are that have nothing to do with what the pulse of the moment is, which is to be a little bit more aware about social issues.
Yeah.
So, and then it's like, okay, what's going on in my life? I'm not going anywhere. I'm in my apartment all day. So what are things to bounce off, to bounce off, to come up with something to talk about? I honestly don't know how I'm managing to do it on that end, but I've done a couple Zoom shows where, it's, you have to get a little more personal, which is not something that I usually do in my comedy. Mm-hmm. But it's the only thing that, that could strike anybody as interesting. So I have to talk about, like, I did a Zoom, I was supposed to do one Zoom comedy show, and on the night of that show, I live on Flatbush, and the Black Lives Matter protests would go right across the street from me facing my computer screen to look at you through Zoom right now. Mm-hmm. So I had to cancel it because it was like it was just like too many things at once. I could not in good conscience try to make people laugh while this massive wave of protests is happening just like a few meters away.
That's a tough tough combo.
Yeah, and so I did it I think 2 weeks later, and it was just sort of a little bit more me trying to unpack how I feel about everything with a slight comedic edge, and it was like both cathartic and I think made the other people laugh. And that's what's weird about the Zoom comedy shows that I've done so far. It's usually just the comics laughing because it's there's too many risk factors with letting all of the audience members turn their mics on.
Yeah.
So it almost feels more like an open mic.
Yeah, it does. It's such a weird, like, I've done them. I've done a fair amount of them, and like all day long, I'm like, I guess I have the same feeling, like, cause I love performing, but when I'm not performing, I hate the idea of performing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? Like,
I think
like,
so.
Because the sort of like the hatred of the part of me that's introverted and doesn't want to leave the house. Well, now I'm not leaving the house, but that idea of like, oh, I got to get up on stage in front of people. Like, that sounds like horrible.
No. Yeah. I always secretly hope that something's going to get canceled or like... Like, oh, maybe,
oh my gosh.
Maybe always. I have the wrong Zoom link and I'll just, you know, not be able to get in or something.
Yeah. I'm always like, but back in the days when we used to perform in clubs and bars and stuff, I'd be like, oh, maybe like a pipe will burst or something. And something will happen.
So do you consider yourself to be an introvert? I consider myself to be an introvert.
Yeah, pretty. I guess it's like 50-50. Not to be, I guess it is super lazy, but, you know, I'm a Gemini, so maybe that's some explanation. But yeah, no, part of me is like just absolutely introvert. Like, I'll say the first couple months of this, I was walking on air.
Same. I'm staying with my girlfriend who is like an extreme extrovert, in my opinion. And so the imbalance of being able to handle just staying in the house, is definitely present.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. At first I was just like, oh my gosh, I was like, this is the first break I've had in 15 years, like where I'm just truly, I was just like drawing and just really taking time to enjoy things. And then, somewhere about a month and a half ago, I was like, well, I guess I better try to get back to something.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me has been small talk is just like, it's like work. It's like working out. Like when I try to call it, like, Ian and I are close friends, and it's gotten to the point where like there's nothing to really talk about. Because it's just, I'm in,
this. No one's experiencing anything, so there's nothing to like. Yeah.
Well, that's like, that's where the thing, going back to the comedy thing, that's what makes it so hard, because it's like every you know, one of my bits or whatever starts, for the most part, has something to do with something that happened or something that made me think about something, you know?
Yeah, well, what happened to the concept of the other day in comedy? Like, the other day I was on my couch.
Yeah, I agreed to do the show, and then I thought about it last night after I agreed to do it, like a longer, and I was like, every one of my bits pretty much is based on, the other day recently, and then, or like things involving human interaction.
I guess if you talk about human interaction now in a stand-up bit, you kind of come off as a psychopath, because it's like you're like endangering people by just like having a joke about hanging out with friends. Like, I was in this bar with like
I have a friend who I've been in Ohio for like 17 years, it feels like now, but I live in New York, and I came out here for what I thought was going to be like 2 weeks.
Oh.
I was like, oh, let's just get out of here for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then now I think if I were in New York, you know, I've been talking to other comedian friends and I'm like, well, if I were there, I would stay. But there, everyone's like, well, if you're not here, I wouldn't rush back.
Yeah,
because I'm just in this tiny little town. Now I'm forgetting where I was headed with this. This is what happens when you don't.
Yeah, I've done other podcasts or just like Zoom catching up with like acquaintances, sort of, where I kind of ended by apologizing, because I feel like I was like probably so bad at talking today, and probably like revealed, like I've just been revealing too much at odd moments.
Yeah, same. I've also gone through the thing where if I'm on a Zoom call for an hour afterwards, I feel like completely exhausted. I have to take a nap.
Yes. And I'm in a lot of Zoom calls at work and just like other things. And I feel like it's because it's more, if everyone has their screen on and it's on that grid mode where it's just like a bunch of people, it's, you have to perform more almost.
Yeah.
Like your face has to show how active you are more than you would if you were in a room with everybody. Cause when you're in a room, everyone's not facing the same direction. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You can't just go like,
but then I also wonder if it's like, an ego thing where you're just assuming that everyone's like looking at your box the whole time. Like they're probably on, you know? So, allow yourself to relax.
This is true. Yeah, it is. It is absolutely an ego thing. Oh, I know the thing that this is what I was, why, how I drifted off to Ohio. What, why I was talking about it is a friend of mine is like, he lives somewhere else in the state, and he's like, hey, I'm coming up to Cleveland. Do you want to get together? And I was sort of like, yeah, let me know what's going on. Just kind of trying to feel him out for what he was going to propose to me. Cause I pretty much will not agree to anything. Like the only interactions I've had have been like, there's a buddy who's come out for like beers, and we sit like at least 10 feet apart on the front lawn, 15 feet probably. And that's like, that's as social as I'll get. One person at like triple what the recommended distance.
And this is before the pandemic or?
No, I think I might keep it going a few years. No, that's my pandemic behavior. But so I was like, so he's like, what do you say we dine out on Saturday? And I was just like, I just wrote, ha ha, no. Like, I'm like, I'll have dinner with you at when there's a vaccine, but like right now I'll have like a beer 10 feet from you outside and for a little bit. That's all that's happening.
Yeah,
but it's weird. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I feel like I just read a headline where Fauci said that drinking in a bar is one of the most dangerous things you could do.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and, you know, I'm guessing he was, like, suggesting my buddy, like, going some patio somewhere. But, like, being out here in Ohio, it's really, it's just the behavior is very different from, well, it just mirrors, you know, red state, blue state stuff pretty much.
But I also wonder, because I have a lot of family, like practically all my family is in California, and that's like a space where everything is really spaced out. And I feel like there's just like a different mentality when you're in an area with a little more space compared to a city like New York. I don't know. I just feel like people are more willing to take risks when there's more space with something like the coronavirus. Because there's like, I don't know. I always feel like the physical space also like leaves more mental space to be like, well, you know, how big of a deal is it if I don't really know what I'm saying. This is the kind of thing that I say that I apologize at the end of the podcast.
No, it's all like, I'll go, even over the course of a day, like I've been going to the post office here and they don't wear masks. No one that comes to the post office wears a mask. People that work there don't wear a mask, which is horrifying to me. And I'm as masked up as you could be pretty much.
Do they laugh at you?
No, you know, cause I have a, you know, I have a kind of street tough look, Chris, you know that. So no one's going to insult me to my face. With my tough guy look that I have. No, I imagine when I leave, they're like, that guy again. but I'll even go like I've had the slightest little, and I think it's just air conditioner induced, like a little like, something's going on. And I'm just like, that's it. I'm never going to the post office again. But, you know, like in 2 hours, I might go to the post office. I don't know. But it's just, this whole thing is absolutely crazy making.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll look back and just laugh and laugh about it. Maybe not for a long time. What I'm hoping is the short attention span. I was talking with Jim Tews the other day, fellow comedian for the listener who may not be aware. And we were talking about this thing about like, how do you write material now? Like, how does your brain work to do this? And I said, the one thing I'm counting on is that a month after this is truly over, everyone will forget it happened because everyone forgets everything. So
I think it's scary that's true. Like a couple weeks before the pandemic really hit, I was just talking to someone about how like everyone kind of acts like the recession never happened, and it affected all of our lives massively, yet people just like have this mental block where they either just never talk about it or they just kind of forget about it. Mm-hmm. But I was working at a movie theater at the time, and people who used to have like great like banking jobs and stuff started working at the movie theater with me like right out of high school, and it mm-hmm. and it like clouded everything. And then all of a sudden people just don't factor it into what created the reality we're in right now. And I feel like that's exactly sort of what's going to happen here, because you'd never really hear about other pandemics that affected you don't hear too many, or even like you don't hear people talk about polio, even though you know that had a massive effect on the planet.
And it's as these things go, I've had those thoughts like, gosh, how did I happen to be on Earth when this happened? I could have avoided it if I had just been somehow born at a different time.
Yeah, but do you feel like you're figuring out how to balance everything now? Or
I think some days I do, but you know, it's easy to go off the rails. Like today, I discovered that someone had used my credit card.
Serious?
And for like $2,000. So I was just like, ugh.
Yeah,
this is just enough. Dealing with this is just enough to set me back in all the other areas. Just the phone calls I have to
make. Where did they spend the $2,000?
Someone got a laptop at Best Buy, and it wasn't even, or it was a monitor. Let me look. Let me see what someone helped them say.
Was it a Cleveland Best Buy? Can you narrow down which Best Buy it was?
Well, this is the scary thing, which I don't quite understand. They've sent me another notice that my Best Buy order is ready for pickup. Someone at the Bronx Terminal, New York store, which I feel like I know exactly where that is because I went to school in the Bronx. They got a Lenovo laptop. This is what's so disturbing. If you're going to steal my credit card, don't get a Lenovo.
Like, wait, did they already pick it up? I feel like if they haven't, you can send someone there.
Yeah, I replied to the email and said, and then it came back and said, no one's here. And, canceling an item. There we go. The bank said they're going to deal with it. So I'm just like, okay. Yeah. But, someone did that. And then the other thing with it, but that was, I'm like, why are you just, if you're going to steal my credit card, get something better than a Lenovo. Just swing for the fences.
I feel like Lenovos are only used by like huge corporations.
I know. It's just so sad. It's like, get the best one.
If you're $2,000, you could get a MacBook. Yeah.
Just do it right. You're going to, you know, I'm going to get the money back. If you're going to do the, just go for it.
Well, you know, this could be a blessing in disguise because that's something that happened to you that could turn into material.
Yes, this is true. I'm glad I'm talking to you. You're helping me. The other one, which a water cleaning company, they had something to do with the oil industry. Someone paid for a bunch of services with my card. So it really runs the gamut. Nothing too sexy. Some sort of water cleaning, water purification, and a lame laptop.
Wow. An oil company?
They provide... I'll email you their website.
Okay, because almost sounds like maybe Donald Trump has hacked your credit card. He's got a Lenovo, and he's doing some stuff with oil.
It is
doing
suspect.
This to a bunch of.
It is quite suspect.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm, and the doctor had told me I'd never walk again.
I couldn't get my book started.
I was lost, honestly.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Ono, Ross, and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders.
I'd call them heroes.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better. I can walk again.
I wrote an entire book this weekend. It's terrible, but I did it.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
Have a lot of problems.
How do you juggle your holds at the library?
Well, how do you decide what to read next?
What do you do when you find out an author you love is a huge trash baby?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses.
We're here to solve all your reader problems and along the way, help you figure out
your reader wheelhouse,
which are the things that will absolutely make you pick up a book. Our listener favorites tend to be magic and a woman on a journey.
And also birds for some reason.
Your reader doghouse.
Yeah, that's the things that it'll make you avoid a book.
Ugh, love triangles stress me out so much. Reading Glasses.
Every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
Oh, going back, we sort of touched on this. I, as much as I would love, and you can bring this up on the if you have a work Zoom at coming up. As much as I would love a job right now, the fact that I don't have one, and I'm just kind of working on things that this could turn, this might be something. Mm-hmm. I've just given my days like. Just as much structure as possible where I'm mm-hmm. like, these things have to happen. Like I exercise, mm-hmm. meditate, I write, I practice the guitar and like those and like anything else is bonus, but I'm like, those things have to happen. And if that's I do good. All those things, that's pretty much the whole day. The day's gone by.
Yeah. That's great. I'm just starting to do the thing where, I make myself exercise every day. and that feels great. And right now I'm actually on a hiatus for the Tonight Show. And so it's giving me like some time to work on some other stuff. And nice. I remember when we were talking a lot about Harvey Pekar. I'm launching my first attempt at a webcomic next week that I've been working with this illustrator, Grant Lindahl, on.
Oh, I know Grant. He did. Yeah.
I feel like I know Grant, too.
Oh, cool.
He does he did a show at Union Hall, I think, right? Or The Creek, maybe? Yes. I don't know. He did.
At The Creek, yeah.
I absolutely know him. I absolutely know him. And it was only this. I'm owing it to, just brain deterioration that I had a slight, it took me a second. But this extends to my dog's name, basic things.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, what is.
So you're writing the comic and he's doing the illustrations?
And he's doing the illustrations, yeah. And so that's just been a great...
Oh, that's the full Harvey Pekar model. Amazing.
It is, yeah, because I don't know how to draw and I want to make stuff and it's like harder to make stuff now because it's like if you wanted to make some sort of short film, you can't really go outside to do it. And it would be a lot of work if I had him like animate something, but it felt like a webcomic is this good balance for creating something easy and manageable. And it's just been a good counterbalance to having something personal from something comedic and personal for me to focus on and to bring out while also working on the Tonight Show, which, you know, shows like that are like hyper-focused on whoever the host is. And psychologically, I think it's probably healthy for every late night writer to have something outside of like constantly having the voice of whoever the host is in mm-hmm. your head. You start thinking like whoever's in charge. Mm-hmm. So
is that a hard shift for you to make, or had you had a lot of experience doing that already?
I do think, yeah. Well, I was a web producer on Wyatt Cenac's HBO show Problem Areas, so it wasn't like I was writing for the show, but that was the first time that I realized, I've always wanted to work for, you know, a late night show or something like The Daily Show or Wyatt's show, but I never really processed the fact that it's like everything is like channeling through one person's voice and one person's mood. I'm just figuring out how to navigate all of that now. And it's not really difficult, but if we were in a world where we could go outside, like the balance would have been like, I'm going out and doing stand up every now and then. Mm-hmm. So
crazy.
Yeah, do you have any like hypothesis about how comedy will evolve after this, or?
I don't know. Like, my probably naive hope is that, like, oh, we'll just get a vaccine and there'll be a little bumpy times for a little bit after that, and then we'll just get back to it. But
yeah.
I do wonder, you know, like, things, like, because it's going to be, I think it's maybe a ways off before things get anywhere close to normal, I hate to say. And then you look at, I've been thinking about, like, oh, like, next summer there's all these festivals and in the UK and Europe that I would normally go over. Yeah. And then I'm like, am I going to even by then get over? Or will, are they going to let us Americans in? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I may be playing jazz guitar in this place, this imaginary place you mentioned. But now I got to learn jazz guitar. I don't know. In my best moments during all this, my hope is that we come back better than ever across all, you know, across all platforms, you know, that we learn a lot and change a lot and I think that has to happen ultimately. Like, we do kind of, because really the alternative is not, is untenable. Like, we can't just limp back. Yeah. We need to come, you know, across everything, you know, the pandemic and, you know, all the, you know, things that are going on, you know, on a civil level, you know, Black Lives Matter and all these things. We really need to follow through and not have it be like, oh, these were just these wild times we had, and now we're just back to. So I'm hoping it extends into everything, where people, especially with comedy, just go, fuck it, I'm gonna really try to be the most authentic version of myself and just go as hard at that as I can, and not. I guess I'm hoping that it'll be better than ever, but you know, maybe, I don't know. I would like it to come back and be, I don't know. I feel like I sound like an old man, which I am, but people just, I would love people to just come back from this weird time being weirder than ever.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that would be fun.
I wonder how this is going to affect younger people. And, you know, I find myself thinking about, like, what will the culture that they cultivate be having, like, if you're in middle school in a time like this, or high school in a time like this, you know?
It's crazy. It breaks my heart. Like, you know, there's a commercial that, I don't know what it's for, Walgreens or something, but I've just seen it in passing, and there's like a kid running over to his mom's cart, throwing some shit in it, and he has a mask on.
Yeah.
And even though I'm like, good, he has a mask on, because I think everyone should be wearing masks, you know, so I'm like, that's good. But also the image is horrifying to me.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I hope that, I'm really hoping we get to the place where it's truly, truly scientifically, medically unnecessary, not dictated by, you know, personal vibe.
Yeah. I guess I wonder if it's, you know, like, so much of like 50s culture was all about denial, you know? And I almost wonder if, you know, the shows and things that people from that generation create, like, you know, will there be shows where they talk about, where they, you know, explore your social distance pandemic prom, or are they just going to ignore it and move past it and only make shows as if,
you know? Yeah, what I mean? No, I think that, like, any kind of fiction is going to have to address this, you know? Yeah. Like, I wonder if, like, are future Marvel movies going to address the pandemic, or are they going to just ignore that?
Yeah. I don't know. I just finished the screenplay, not to brag, but and there's no though it was all like kind of outlined and all that before all this. So, but there is, it did occur to me. I'm like, oh, this is, has no, there's no reference to anything that's going on.
Yeah.
Right now in it.
And yeah, it's like, we don't know how, what exactly the impact of everything right now will be. And we don't know. Like right now, I feel like it's like 50-50 of a script that does not acknowledge this will, mm-hmm. be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a guy who vapes in the script, which is a real, for me, was really a contemporary thing to have in the script. A guy who was aggressively vaping. But normally, I don't even like to acknowledge that people have cell phones. In any of my work, I like to take place in some timeless technology-free world. But yeah, it's a guy vaping. People get phone calls on their cell phones.
People on TikTok.
But yeah, there's no modern TikTok. Don't even bring TikTok up with me, Chris. We don't even need to go. Chris encouraged me to go on TikTok, and I uploaded a video, and it didn't take off in the manner that he said I was going
to
be a star.
We need to bring in a TikTok specialist. But yeah, we'll
yeah, were you dancing or what was it?
I was shooting something outside, and and a bird attacked me or flew right into my face as I was doing, just by chance. And then it got like caught in my shirt. I was wearing a jumpsuit actually, which is a whole other story, but flew into my jumpsuit and was like, and I didn't know what was going on. So the video is pretty,
it's amazing.
It's pretty strong, but Chris said it was going to put me over the top with the kids, and it so far it hasn't. So
it seemed like it was going to be a hole in one, but I don't know. We have to figure out why, how to make a TikTok video go viral. Eric, can you,
here's the video. Okay.
Wow.
I neglected to tell you I'm wearing corpse paint in the video, but that's another wrinkle. So you can see the
bird. This deserves viral success.
Yeah.
But then the question is, you wearing, so if this was a viral success, then you'd have to come up with 7 days a week, you posting something with you in corpse paint,
getting attacked
and getting attacked by some sort of animal.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem worth it.
You should just like go to a zoo and jump in a lion cage or something.
Yeah, I'm really conflicted.
Yeah, I have a similar thing where it's like maintaining like the reasons. So much has changed when I compare the reasons I got into comedy with like what it takes to maintain a comedy career now. Where, you know, when I first, like one example of it is that when I first was interested in it, it was like, oh, like, you know, comedy specials truly were like very rare. And now there's so many, you know. So the original thing that was like, oh, that's the goal, it doesn't have the same amount of value that it had. And I only started, I think, maybe like 8 years ago, and it's changed that fast. Do you deal with that, or how do you, like, I right now it's like I have to, I'm trying to train my brain to accept to reassess where I can place that old value into what is the new way of things.
I don't know. I try, because I think if I think about it too much, I get too disappointed in my career. But so I just try to say, well, am I just doing my art all the time? Am I in getting involved with stuff that I don't want to be involved with? And am I making a living that allows me to eat and do the things that I like to do. And if I can go like, yeah, that's all working out, where I'm just kind of doing my thing, then I'm like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and anything beyond that is gravy. That's what I have to remind myself. Cause what made me realize is I called a friend once and we were chatting and I was just bitching about my career. Mm. And I'm like, he was like, you make your living from your art. He's like, I'm doing part-time clerical work right now as I'm talking to you. So he was just like, he didn't tell me to shut the fuck up, but he just reminded me of like the position I was in. And he's like, it's going a lot better than you realize.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the barometer. Because you think about it, like, I think if you get too caught up in thinking like, oh, this has to happen, you know, because you got to think like probably even the most successful actors in the world are like, why didn't I get, why am I not in the Bourne series?
Yeah.
You know? So there's no end to it.
Yeah.
So, but that being, you know, I do maintain bitterness, sure.
You know, bitterness is important, you know?
Okay, Chris will tell you, you know, that I'm completely full of shit right now. We should probably ride off into the podcasting sunset and let you get back to whatever wild day you have planned.
Thanks. I might do some laundry.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of doing laundry.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Tim, it's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
And I look forward to seeing you in person.
Yeah, whenever you're back in New York and things are normal, let's hang out.
Yeah. And congrats on your new job. And I hope that one day soon you meet Jimmy Fallon.
Thank you. Yeah.
And there you have it, our delightful conversation. Why can't I say conversation? How hard is that?
Maybe you just, I don't know, you haven't said the word enough recently.
I know, but I should just really go for it and pronounce words properly.
Good.
Why be shy? Conversation. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Tim and look forward to seeing his work on The Tonight Show when you watch it. We hope he gets in the office, meets Jimmy, the whole deal. Craft service, everything. Mm-hmm. All the snacks. If you'd like to help us keep gas in the tank on this incredible podcast, support us at patreon.com/Dave Hill and contribute whatever you like. And there's all sorts of goodies and great things coming your way as a result. Thanks to our friends at Maximum Fun. And Chris, can you put an explosion noise right here?
Yeah.
Cool. That was awesome. Do we have anything else we need to say?
I think so. That's it.
All right. We'll be back next week. Everyone stay safe. Stay healthy. We're going to get through this. We're going to be better than ever. I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe that, even though I myself, you would never know it, have dark moments. Oh, they get really dark. Wear your mask, please. Wash your hands, and be good to yourself and other people.
Yes,
in equal measure. And we're gonna be good. We're gonna be all right, folks.
Don't bite your nails.
Don't bite. Oh my gosh, why would you do that in the first place?
I used to. I used to be a big nail biter.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Stay hydrated.
Get tested.
That fuck. My whole fucking catchphrase is ruined now. Though I guess I still mean it, don't I? Get tested.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye.
Cool. Bye. Just
just like you, consumed with matters of darkness. Now I have a family and a very, very nice apartment.
What I'm telling to you before it's too late.
Fine.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.